You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
And establish churches.
Yes, that's been really neat to
We have learn. New data. That we've been looking at.
We're watching you.
Yeah, if you've been on newchurches.com recently in the last maybe couple weeks, a month or so, you might have noticed a little
bloop.
A little bot that pops up and asks you a couple questions to help you figure out how to where to start on the site.
Trying to help you figure out where you're going so you don't have to look around.
Exactly.
But you know, in doing so, it asks you questions like, hey, are you looking for church planting, multi-site, or you established church? And we figured out, wow, there's a lot more established churches listening and watching and reading on new churches than we ever thought.
But you know what's really encouraging about that?
What,
Daniel? Is what I read into that is that these established churches are trying to figure out their role in planting, multi-site, or multiplication.
True.
That's what I think. I mean, we do have a lot of resources, and some of these questions do hit. I mean, it's broadly applicable to all.
A lot of people ask questions that are good for church planting, church multi-site, or just a church, an established church. So
exactly. So that's pretty cool.
We should probably listen to a question now.
Yeah. Well, this question here is going to be about multi-site and going portable. So let's listen in.
I know most churches launch when they don't own a building. In your experience, what are the unique benefits of being portable, and why should a multi-site seriously consider a portable launch for their next campus?
So the unique benefits to being portable, sometimes, I mean, that's a really glass half full way of viewing portable, because a lot of times you think portable because you don't have enough money to go permanent, or you think portable because you can't find a building or you can't find a location. But to actually flip it around and be like, hey, portable can be beneficial.
It's agile.
Yeah, you're right. Why don't you tease that out a little bit?
Okay, so if you are locked into a building, that means that you're locked into a lot of things. If you own the building, you're responsible for the upkeep of the facilities, which people don't think adds up, but you know, I double dog redneck dare you to take a look at your balance sheet and figure that out, especially over the course of 10 years. Yeah. So it may be fine for a couple of years, but just like a car, the older a building gets, you know, the more repair work that needs to be done, maintenance work that needs to be done just to keep it up. We all know, we all probably know churches who are locked into a building that is far too big for what they're doing today. Their church may have been built for the way church was done 30 years ago, but it's not, you know, it's not built for today. And so I would say, don't let your church facility dictate anything about your church, whether you have a facility or not. And just go ahead and say, hey, what are the core ministries we're going to offer? And then figure out a way to make those happen.
Exactly.
You know, creativity is the mother of invention. And so if you still want to do a certain ministry and you're like, there's no way we can't do that without a building, figure out a way to do it. Or, you know, just figure out what is another version of this that I could do instead? So I would say it's a real asset to not have a church, because you can be agile and move when you need to. So it's a lot easier to open up a second campus. It's a lot easier if you get kicked out of one place to move into another. But that being said, when you don't own it, you can get kicked out.
Yeah, you're right. When our church, the previous church I was a part of up in Canada, we were in a Cineplex Odeon. One of our campuses was is, you know, like a theater, like a Regal theater down in the States. And there was a clause where they would give us a month, 2 months notice, and we'd have to be out. if they decided to play that clause. And it's just one of those things that was a part of the agreement. But one of the things that you mentioned earlier, just about the upkeep, right? So we all know brand new building, even today, this is our first podcast recorded in our new studio here at Lifeway.
So fresh and so clean. It's because we have crisp new marker.
Exactly. So that's really neat. And you look at a brand new building, paint's just gone up, everything's new. It's great. But I mean, if you're not continuing to paint the nicks on the doors, the scratches on the walls and keeping it up, hey, 5 years later, the place is going to look bad. I mean, there's going to be wear and tear. So if you look at some buildings that are like, oh man, this building's 30 years old and it looks brand new, it's not because every 3 or 4 years they decided to do some maintenance and put some extra money in their budget, but there is a set amount every year going into just upkeep and keeping it fresh and keeping it clean. And that's often one of those things that maybe doesn't get put into account when you're doing a building campaign and because it's ongoing cost. It's not that one-time cost.
And then I can tell you from serving at some of those churches, every year we come around to the conversation of, oh, where are we going to find money to do this ministry or that ministry or just keep pace with the rising cost of health insurance and all that. And we always dip back into, oh, well, we're going to defer that maintenance for another year.
Yeah.
We're going to defer, you know, that too for this year. And it's always something that gets kicked down the road. And for us, you know, a lot of times it's familiar, but for a guest coming in, they're going to see a lot more of those issues than we do. And it may make them feel uncomfortable leaving their children there. So, you know, it's one thing, it can quickly cross someone's mind, your level of church security or the safety of their children, just by, you know, some of those things, broken windows, the broken window problem, which was good to great, built to last. Which one was that?
I forget. Yeah.
Okay. But it was the whole idea of, you know, the subway was horrible in New York because they just let it happen and they thought they couldn't keep up with it. But when they went in and they said, it was Giuliani, I think, who said, no, we're going to clean it every single night. Oh, we're going to repaint the subway single night.
That did change it.
And it changed the whole perspective. It changed the rate of crime. It changed everything about it. And so, yeah, if you haven't ever read that, or just Google broken windows.
Yeah, even some other instances where, hey, this park, I know there's this one park in LA that was just, I forget the name of the park, but it was just known for crime, prostitution, drugs, and all that stuff. And when they went in and looked, you know, it wasn't lit up, right? It wasn't clean. And basically they put lights in and they started cleaning it up. And I mean, it's kind of, you know, metaphorically, light chases out darkness, right?
And amen. We should just close in prayer right there, Daniel.
Right. So, I mean, in that sense, I mean, here's the other thing to think about when, you know, here's the second part of Jesse's question. Why should a multi-site campus consider a portable location for the next launch? It really goes back to that thing that you said earlier, Todd, the agility of it, being able to shift, being able to change. But in order to do that, the church, you have to have a good communication system, right? You can't necessarily think, hey, it's agile, we can go here and then we can change locations to there as we grow a little bit bigger, if you don't have a really good system of communication, right? So to have that system of communication, how are you sending out alerts? Is it via text messages? Is it a Facebook group? Is it email? Is it phone calls, right? You need to be able to communicate with your congregation at a moment's notice really well.
I would say clarity all the way up and down your vision, values, leadership pipeline, systems and processes that you use, all of that. It's vital that you stay clear and as simple as possible. If you want to scale, yes. But also, if you just want to be agile and be able to move different places, then people need to know what is the form of communication that's used, what changes and what doesn't change. But a big piece of this too is, if you want to think about establishing a healthy church culture, one of change and growth, because that's what a church looks yeah. like that is healthy, as there's always change, there's always growth. And so with that, I would say when you do this, you're also helping embed that into your culture so that we don't get too comfortable sitting and soaking. It helps us to be able to tell our people, hey, we're going to get uncomfortable and we're not just going to relegate church to the weekend. We're going to do it in our houses. We're going to do it in our community centers. We're going to do it where we actually live, work, and play.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So just before we wrap up, I wanted to take some time to thank our sponsor for this month, Portable Church, who helps churches launch in rented spaces, portable spaces, by designing turnkey, volunteer-centric solutions that cover everything churches need to have excellence in their worship, children's, and welcome areas. So they provide fantastic environments in a way that volunteers can thrive. So check them out at portablechurch.com. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode today. And if you haven't yet left us a rating and review on our podcast,
shame on you. Shame on you.
But you know what? You are going to really, you know what? We do batch recording, right, Todd?
Right.
And there's a lot of episodes that we've recorded a little bit ahead of the curve. But our Christmas episode, we are releasing an episode on Christmas Day. And it, unfortunately, it was Ed and I on that one.
What? That can't be.
No, but we'll do a New Year's one together, Todd. It'll be better than the Christmas one.
It hands down.
But it's going to be fun. We got Christmas music playing.
What are we going to play for New Year's? Oh, I got some
New Year's music.
It's going to be dedicated to early 90s rap and R&B.
Well, you do like EDM.
I do like modern, yes, EDM as well.
Modern EDM. And so maybe we should do that.
And I'm kind of eclectic if our listeners haven't already picked
up. Well, James, who is our producer, maybe he can do a mix up for us between EDM, bluegrass, and classical music.
I know a guy.
Right. Thanks for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.